Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, this podcast is brought to you by Life Work Bookkeeping Solutions, LLC. Call 610-324-6895. Bookkeeping for professionals and small business owners, personal finances, QuickBooks training. Give them a call. Thanks. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April the 29th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I mean, it is 6:25 in the morning, so not too much stuff's going on. But we definitely just got done with a lot of rain. I think it might rain again, but at this moment, it's pretty clear. Beautiful, calm. Love it. This is my favorite part of the day. I am a morning person, right? It's funny how some people aren't, right? My wife, not a morning person, hates the morning, or doesn't hate it. I mean, she wakes up with a, you know, a smile, but she likes to get sleep, right? She'll sleep till 9 or something like that, where I like to get up, right? I've been up, took a shower. To me, the morning is my favorite part of the day. I love running in the morning. I love sunrises. Sunsets are nice, but I'm definitely a sunrise person. I like to get up. When I was a kid, I used to get up early. In the summer, actually, I used to get up early when I didn't have to do things for other people, right? Like, I did not like to get up early when I had to go to school. Like, getting me up in the mornings before school was one of the worst events ever. But once summer hit, you know, I'm up in the morning, right? I'm up 6 in the morning, up on my bike. We lived in an area around a golf course, so I wasn't concerned about the golf course. I was concerned with the pond, right? I loved nature and animals and creatures, and I used to love getting up early, riding my bike up to the pond, and just hang out, right? Look for frogs or whatever, and I just found a lot of solace in the mornings. So it is early this morning, and I feel great. One of the, you know, I think for me, one of the greatest gifts, one of many gifts, of getting sober and sort of getting my shit together is just the ability to get up in the morning, right, with a clear mind. You know, as I get older, I am a little groggier, right? I do notice that. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to kind of get my shit together. Plus the fact that I quit drinking coffee. I've changed how I drink coffee. Like, I'll still drink some coffee. Like, I'll probably have some... I'll probably have some coffee later, but I just am not relying on it as much as I used to. When I started doing this paddling and started making my stomach feel kind of crappy, I quit because I really wanted to paddle. And so that's the other thing. I'm drinking some of these ice caffeine things. It's a sparkling ice plus caffeine. It's just basically a seltzer, but yeah. I'm still a little groggy. So, anyway, hope all is well in your world. I did go to a meeting last night and didn't want to, right? I did not want to go to the meeting last night. It was raining, and I was like, gosh, tonight would be a great night to stay home, right? This would be a perfect excuse. It's raining. We were all hanging out. You know, it was a good opportunity to skip it, but I didn't. Got in my car, went to the meeting, and it was great. It was a great meeting. Guy sat up front and shared, you know, a story. I love hearing everybody's story. They're all so different, but also the same, right? And But he came up with a topic, which I thought was great, is, you know, at what cost, right? At what cost? And his, I think what he was talking about is, at if I have this drink, at what cost, right?
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. How's my levels? Is that coming out okay? Can you hear me? Hang on. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen. Hello. Oi, what do you get if you take a Welsh boy? Mix in some lunacy, mix in some noise. Mix in affliction with music, addiction, conviction and friction, and leave it to boil. Friend, but don't overcook me, please. Serve me with the fine wine and a cheddar cheese, cause I'll immature with age and I don't deep freeze, cause I'll melt your freezer with the fire that I preach. Deep. I speak metaphors in my sleep, soliloquies and solitude, my mind on the beat. Neat, I repeat words, retweet. I said neat, I repeat words, retweet. Heat, I chase pretty girls till I'm weak. I was talking to this one girl just last week. She said, Ren, are you so tongue-in-cheek? But it was hard to hear a talk with my tongue in the cheek. Half animal and cannibal, unfammable, it's tangible. My casual, yet radical, grammatical mind is practical, impactful, and really quite supernatural. Detachable from my skull, socket in my spine.
Insane, is he possessed by a monster? Hunchback of Notre Dame type posture, clasping his hands like a rapist lobster.
Talk like Tony Montana, mobster. Say hello to my little friend once again. I got more lines than a cocaine den. Ren, I say you once again if you forget. Ren, fill your lungs out like a cigarette. Ha-ha, the kiddie with the wordplay fetish. Alliteration of a lines of lush like lettuce. I live my life with love and light, illuminate like lightning. The liberation leader with linguistics of a lion.
You know it's all just fun and games, yeah, honey. You got me smiling like there's something funny. This music soothes my soul like melted honey. And I love it again.
Yes, I...
Yeah, awesome. Ren. I'm obsessed with this guy. I'm not obsessed, but he's really, I dig his talent, man. He's awesome. But anyway, at what cost, right? And what a great topic. You know, I remember early on getting sober, and I think it was summer, and I remember I was in this new relationship, and I'd gone to, we were hanging out down at the beach or something, and I ordered a virgin daiquiri, and for some reason, I said, you know, we're just chatting. My drink is down, and I pick up a drink, and I take a big swig, and all I taste is rum. And I was like, oh my God, I think I've just, you know, I think I just went back out, right? I remember calling my sponsor, and I was like, I had a drink, and I swallowed it. And he's like, you know, don't worry about it. Don't freak out, right? But I was like, at what cost? Did I just ruin everything, right? Did I just throw everything away? And I didn't. You know, I think that story happens quite a bit. I was surprised at it. I never imagined that it would happen to me. I always was pretty safe and, you know, tried to keep an eye on what I was drinking and where it was. But it has happened. It did happen to me. And I will say, you know, I didn't go back out, right? I didn't. I was mortified. I really, at that time, early on in sobriety, I really wanted to be sober. I did not want to go back to where I had come from. So, back on with the regularly scheduled program, right? So, but, you know, I did think early on, I don't know, actually, you know, I think about this now. I don't know if I really thought that thinking through situations early on in sobriety. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did not. I've shared before, my first 4 or 5 years in sobriety were so different than my time now. I guess it was part of my story. I thought it was all good. Looking back at it, I sort of feel like I had to go through all that to get to the point where I'm at today. And where I'm at today is, you know, I use this sort of thinking for everything that I do today, right? You know, at what cost, if I had a drink, at what cost, what would be the damage? You know, I remember when I was in Easton and I decided, and this is that first year. I was okay for the first year, but the second year away from my home group and in the beach area, you know, that disease really started knocking on the door. And I had no defense. You know, I couldn't think the drink through. I couldn't think the thought through. You know, if I remember when all of a sudden the thought came to me, like, maybe you should try drinking again. Right? You've done really well. It's been like 4 years. You know, maybe you could do it again. But this is after the, you know, the I had gone to some meetings and didn't really like the way the meetings were run, and sort of had this voice that was like, you know, why are we doing this here? Right? Let's find a different meeting. Always in the back of my mind thinking that I would find another one, but not understanding at what cost would happen to me if I stopped going to this meeting and started listening to this, you know, this voice, right? This idea that this meeting wasn't for me. They didn't know what they were doing. You know, I didn't understand that. I wasn't prepared for that. And eventually would drink. And, you know, this idea that I could drink again, you know, safely was a nightmare. It doesn't happen. It didn't happen. I did not drink safely. I drank like a maniac. I put my wife through hell at the time. I remember I was like, well, I'll just drink 3 beers. And so I would buy beer and then I would drink my 3. And then I would start asking her, you mind if I have a 4th, right? I just like, what a nightmare. What a freaking nightmare. And I'd probably already drinking a bottle of vodka. It went from, I wonder if I can drink again, to I'm drinking a bottle of vodka before my wife gets home in a matter of just a couple weeks. I mean, that quickly. It's like it had never stopped, right? You hear that in meetings. You know, the progression keeps continuing. We might physically be taking a break, but mentally it is continuing. And that's exactly what happened. And I picked up worse than when I had stopped, right? So at what cost? You know, today I've come a long way. Like I said, I try to use this sort of thinking in everything I do. It's sort of like, you know, does it need to be said? Does it need to be said by me? Does it need to be said by me right now? And more than likely, most of the times it does not. And you know, but today I think about it, you know. I think it really started with my father, you know, trying to have a relationship with him, allowing him to be him, right, and me to be me, but trying to find a middle ground that we could both exist because, you know, he is getting older and I want to be there for him. I think it helps him. I think he feels safe, right? I think he has some comfort knowing that we're here. I don't want that relationship to end because him and I can't seem to have a conversation. I now try to think, you know, if I say this, at what cost, right? What will this do for my dad and I's relationship if I decide to put my foot on the gas, right, and push through some, you know, a point or a thought or an idea that I think is important, you know, and if he doesn't, you know, and my dad's a great guy, but he has never had to work on a program, right? My dad's never been an alcoholic. My dad is just a normal dude, right? So he doesn't have to address stuff. And I shared before the other day that, you know, he had called me worried that he might have said something. You know, I felt like he was, you know, he has no idea what a 10th step is. But he, you know, he something was setting with him and it left him unsettled and he needed to address it. I get it, right? You know, those are the things that I try to avoid today. You know, at what cost? Is this comment important? You know, my wife's like, you know, like she'll make little noises because she knows he'll start saying stuff in this conversation, right? And maybe I'm not, you know, maybe it's my dad might be perfectly fine. I might be the wimp in the conversation, right? I might not be the one that can handle it, right? And so maybe due to that fact, due to the immaturity maybe I have in having conversations, right? I don't even know, but maybe, you know, I could possibly say or do something, you know, that I might regret, you know, at what cost. So he doesn't seem to really think about it. I do, because I really don't feel like having this big blow up with my dad or anybody, right? And so I think, you know, I think about, you know, restraint from pen and tongue, you know, think it through, think the drink through, right? At what cost? And, you know, I think it's a great way to live as far as, you know, not picking up a drink, right? Not having to make an amends after a conversation that, you know, that could happen. You know, I shared last night in the meeting that, you know, yesterday, you know, I think I've shared, you know, I'm trying to work more. I want to make some extra money I want to build a computer and I don't want to put it on a credit card. I just want to work extra, work on my day off, just try to make extra money, right? So that I can put it towards this computer. But the fact is I have been working more. And the other thing is that it's becoming very busy. So not only am I working more, but the other times that I'm usually working have become very busy. And that was yesterday. And my God, it was crazy. And I was hungry, you know. We talk about that H-A-L-T, halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. I was hungry, and I was feeling a little short, and I can tell when I sort of start getting that way because, you know, my comments might become a little sharp, right, have a little edge to them, and a little bite, and, you know, I have to be careful. That's my, you know, these are my people, right, and I can't, you know, at what cost, right? I don't want to say something, and believe me, I'm sure whatever business we're in, I think we all deal with different types of people. I'm sure they're all good in their own way. I know I can even be annoying at sometimes, so I give everybody a break. But, you know, when you're out there talking to people, everybody's got a different opinion, right? And, you know, they used to say you can't talk about sex, politics, or religion. Sex, politics, or religion. Those three topics were always off limits because they could get heated, right? And, you know, you could say something. I've lost clients over politics. I had a client that left because I liked Obama, right? She did not. Like Obama, don't like Obama. It was a long time ago, but for some reason I just liked him. I thought he was seemed like a good president, and she hated him. I think she just didn't like his color, which still happens, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, I don't do her hair anymore. She told me, I can't come to you because you support Obama. And I was like, wow. So, you know, those booby traps are out there. And so, you know, I have to think today, you know, is this comment necessary? Do I need to even get involved? Do I need to mix it up, right? At what cost? And today I like peace of mind, right? I like serenity. And sometimes serenity is had by saying less, right? Sometimes I can say too much. I do have clients that come in that love to mix it up, right? And they love to lead me in. And afterwards, sometimes I'm like, damn, you know, I would rather not even had that conversation, right? But somehow you get pulled in. I played a role in it, right? I'm responsible, right? I'd love to say that guy led me. That guy pulled me into that conversation. If he hadn't done that, I would have never had said what I had said. But that's the reality is I know where I'm going and I know what I'm saying. I just have to adjust my attitude because when my attitude's out of whack, my attitude will tell me that it thinks it's okay if I say it. Right. And at what cost? And like I've said, I've lost friendships. I've lost clientele. Not many. Right. And sometimes you have to sometimes it's like good riddance. Right. I am also not a doormat. I heard somebody say that the other day. We're also not doormats. You know, I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to have serenity. I'm trying to stay neutral, keep it vanilla. But I'm also not going to be walked all over, and I'm not going to be disrespected. And, you know, you have to figure out that line. But as long as I'm eating right and I'm getting a lot of rest, you know, my relationships are good, and I try to keep my self-centeredness, you know, pushed down so that I keep that humble attitude, you know, more than likely I'm going to stay on the in the middle of the beam, right? I'm going to try to keep it pretty good. But, you know, it does happen, and, you know, today I try to think at what cost. I try to do this with everything, you know. This computer is a good example. I was, you know, I really wanted to get this computer. Anytime in the past, you know, 15 years, if I needed a computer, I would just buy it, right? I would put it on a credit card, and I would pay for it, right? You know, with my wife and I both working at the time, you know, our income was a lot different, and, you know, I could make payments, I could really get anything I wanted, right? It might, you know, back in the day, Apple, they used to put, like, you could get things for, you know, a year interest-free, 12 months interest-free. I'm like, sweet, that's just 12 straight payments of whatever it is, and then I can have it, right? You know, within reason. But I could always manage something like that. But today, you know, it's not the same. My wife's not working, which is what we choose. It's her not working brings us so much more value. But the point is that our money's different. And so, you know, I wanted to get this computer, and I was like, well, I could just put it on the credit card. And I started telling myself, you know, well, I'll just pay myself back or whatever. And, you know, I had to think, you know, what at what cost? I've shared before that I'm still getting rid of. I think I'm down to like $1,500 on my credit card. I want to get rid of that. I don't want to carry any debt. I'm not even sure how I even got that debt. It happened at Christmas. Something happened at Christmas. But the point is, I don't want any more debt. And so if I was to buy this computer, at what cost? And the at what cost would be I'd just pay more credit card interest, right? And I'd be wasting money. And we're in no position at this point in our lives to be wasting any money. So I had to step back. I had to say, you know what? You can't get the computer yet, dude. And the other thing, you know, I want to start a gaming channel, but I was watching this last night, this thing last night, and I'm like, do I, you know, or am I tricking myself? Like, am I telling myself that I'm going to do all this, but deep inside knowing that I probably will not? I probably will not start a gaming channel because I just don't have the time and the energy to do it really well. I would love to. I really, really would, but if I'm being honest, right, what would a gaming channel, at what cost, right, would a gaming channel bring to me? And it would probably tie up my time a little more. And really at a time in my life that I just don't have a lot of extra time, unfortunately. So I don't know. But I love the topic, right? I love the topic of at what cost. I think it's something that I didn't used to do early on. I didn't really think anything through. I just assumed that I sort of had it. Right. I mean, it's pretty when you're in that first 90 days of sobriety, man, you're pretty invincible, I think. I see, you know, I talked to a guy last night, you know, he struggles, right? He is struggling. He has not been on that pink cloud. He has really been kicking and fighting through this early part of recovery. And I understand that, too. I've been there because, you know, if I'm going to be honest, I just didn't want to get sober. Right. And, you know, I can tell his family is very supportive of him getting sober. And sometimes, like I told him last night, I go, you've been sentenced, right? You've been sentenced to get sober. And he's like, I have been sentenced. And I go, yeah, the problem with that is that when we think of it that way, it's a task to bear, right? It's something that I have to do. And I've been sentenced to getting sober many years of my life. My first sentence was at 15 when I was sent to that New Hope rehab, or I forget what, I think it was called New Hope. But it was for like teens. That was my first sentence, right? I was there for, I don't know, 3 months maybe because I was smoking too much pot. I was ditching school. My parents hated it, and they sent me there. I was sentenced, and I treated it as such, right? You know, start sliding and counting the ticking off the days on my calendar until I get out, right? That would be one of many sentences I would be sent to get sentences, right, to try to get sober. Never wanted to. I was a victim. I can't believe these people are making me do this. When that's the case, when you think like that, it's hard to get this program, right? Because in the first step, we admit, that's the first humble thing I had done. I wasn't ready to be humble early on in my life. I was deep in myself and I loved it. But that's what I told him last night. I go, you need to, you know, you don't need to do anything, buddy. When I started to understand, and, you know, when I had gone back out drinking and, because like the first time, 1997, March 31st, you know, I had gone to the hospital, I'd been given opportunity. It's like this, addiction's like this fast running train, right? And at some point, sometimes it stops. Usually it's, you know, when you wrap a car around a pole, when someone sinks their fist in your face, when you do something really stupid, that train just stops. And sometimes you get off, right? And that train just takes back off. And that's sort of what happened to me. I had a chance to get off the train. And, you know, and I stayed off for a while, but you know, I had been sentenced, so I didn't really take any of this in like I should have. So it wasn't too hard when I did go back out and drink. But I remember standing on that porch that middle of the night drinking and smoking cigarettes and thinking, you know, I'd lost everything, right? Wife was gone, child was gone, job was gone. I had nothing. And I decided, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm in trouble. At that point, that's when I asked the conductor, please stop the train, right? I went off. And that would be the beginning of a completely different journey through sobriety. And that's what I told this guy last night. I said, you know, let's have coffee, man. And I'll just share my story and how, you know, how that evolution went in my life and how today, you know, how grateful I am, right, that I have this. And what a blessing it is. And who knows, man, I could, you know, one day at a time, right? At what cost, right? And, you know, the problem I have today some days is just life is too freaking good, right? It's just too damn good. I believe that I need a struggle in my life, and some days I'm not struggling, right? Some days everything just goes perfectly. And that's when I get, like, grumpy about dumb shit, and that's no fun either. So, you know, at what cost? I love the topic. I think it's relevant. And I think it's important that I think everything that I say and do through, right? If I go do this, at what cost? What's going to be the problem? You know, I started this paddling. Paddling's great, but at what cost? What am I losing? Time with my family. You know, I have to figure out how to manage enjoying doing the paddling on what days I can do it that work without cutting into too much time with the family. Because what happens when you cut into family time? You know, my wife can get upset. You know, you should be home with the family more. Then I can get upset. What do you mean? I like paddling. So, you know, I have to think, if I'm going to sign up for something like this, at what cost? What am I going to need to do? What am I going to protect? Who am I going to need to reassure that I understand, you know, because that's the other thing. You know, I have a relationship with my wife. I have to have a conversation. I would like to do this. Do you think this will work? All right, well, what days are you thinking? I'd like to do it on Wednesdays or whatever. And, you know, we have a conversation about it and we have an agreement. And then we go forward at no cost, right? Because we both had a conversation and an understanding of what I'm going to do. Now, if I start trying to do more paddling, right, if I start trying to add more days without having a conversation, there will be a cost. And the cost will be my wife will be annoyed, right? I was fine with the days you wanted to do it, but now you're doing it other days. And now I'm taking away from family time and being with her, and, you know, feelings show up. And we don't want that. So I think it's a great topic. You know, if you're new to getting sober, you know, it can be even more than just having a drink. Like, is it going to come to me if I hang out where I used to hang out, right? You know, people say, well, why don't you just go to a bar and drink seltzer? At what cost, right? You know, if I'm going to be at the bar, am I going to be closer to alcohol? Am I going to start missing it more than if I had just stayed home? So maybe hanging out in bars and drinking seltzer isn't a great idea, because, you know, eventually, you know, they say if you hang out long enough at a barbershop, you're going to get a haircut. And that's probably something to remember. So, yeah, just think it through with everything. I do. It keeps me in the day, right? Keeps me in the moment, trying to think how this is going to work out. Let's see. Let's look at our daily reflections and then. I got a group. All right. So April 29th, group autonomy. Some may think we have carried the principle of group autonomy to extremes. For example, in its original long form, Tradition 4 declares, any two or three gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that they, as group, they have no other affiliation. But this ultra-liberty is not so risky as it looks. AA comes of age, page 104. As an active alcoholic, I abused every liberty that life afforded. How could AA expect me to respect the ultra-liberty bestowed by Tradition 4? Learning respect has become a lifetime job. AA has made me fully accept the necessity of discipline, and that if I do not assert it, from within, then I will pay for it. This applies to groups too. Tradition 4 points me in a spiritual direction. In spite of my alcoholic inclination, this is a misquote. Bill is referred to the third tradition. I don't know. Go read that. It's today, daily reflection. But you know, when you, at what cost, right? If you take that time to be considered of at what cost this action may bring, you know, I think that's a relationship with a higher power. I think that's a humble thought. I think that's a humble move, right? I think that is considerate of others. If I do this, who will be affected and in what way? You know, when I'm in that disease of self, I don't think that way, right? I do not consider others. I do what I want at any cost, right? So understand, you know, for me, when I feel like I'm thinking of others, when I'm thinking things through, at what cost, I think that that is a relationship with a higher power. That's a relationship with the spiritual being, right? That is, yeah, that's a higher, that's a humble thought. And that's a relationship. And that's awesome, right? A lot of people don't really think they have a relationship with a higher power. You know, thinking things through at what cost is sort of having a relationship with a higher power. Definitely. All right. Well, listen, I hope everyone has a great day. You know, and just keep thinking, you know, think it through. Think, you know, if you're about to say something, if you can, try to think, is this necessary? If you're about to do something, think, is this necessary? Where will it lead me? And, you know, hopefully you make the right choice. Have a great day. Later.
Sink MCs like battleships plundered. Twist words like Tony Hawk's 900. Post that quote on Tumblr. Reblog that quote if you want to, dub. Cause I'ma bring the love, I'ma sing the love. Half chav, half hippie, I'm a chippy love. And I was raised in the country, not the city, bruv. So I'm stabbing up cheese, never people blood. Because we need some love, we need it like a drug. And even if you're feeling minging like an ugly pug, you deserve a hug. Cause man, believe me, yes, you're brilliant. I shake the scene like Shakespeare, now they call me William. I'm killing them all over every border of Meridian. I'm giving them my idiom, so harder than Meridian. I'm purer than Bolivian, I'm deeper than amphibians. A dippy lippy, pretty looking hippie village idiot. You know it's all just fun and games, yeah, honey. You got me smiling like there's something funny. This music soothes my soul like melted honey. And I love it, yeah. Remember in the 90s, people used to sing rap. And I'ma try to bring that right back. Sean Paul taught me how to beat. And Shaggy told him it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
But I saw you on the CCTV.
It wasn't me.
Breaking into Toys R Us last week.
It wasn't me.
You were dressed like a ninja sheep and using Furbies like bowling balls. Seriously, you're insane, man. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You're talking.